Well, good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Song and Praise evening at the 51st New Zealand Christadelphian Bible School. I think, brethren and sisters, you will find the evening very different from what you're accustomed to, the polished performance under the baton of Sister Beth Burkhan. But I nevertheless trust you'll find the evening helpful. The program of words and music we're going to follow tonight is essentially a meditation designed to lift our vision, keep us kingdom focused during the coming year or until our Lord returns. It's also an act of worship and praise as we seek to thank our Heavenly Father and His beloved Son for all the blessings we have received together this week. So, let's get started and open with a hymn and a prayer. If you have the little song sheets that I've handed out, just so that you know the order in which the hymns will be coming. Our opening hymn is hymn 86, and it was written by one of our sisters, Sister Ruth Fryer of the Newport Ecclesia in Wales. And in just three short verses, she's captured the very essence of God's purpose and the things we stand for. She's done it very eloquently. And I invite you to join with me then in singing hymn 86 and then remain standing for prayer. God of glory, truth and splendor, far exceeding time or space, God of mercy, kind and tender, shine on us in Jesus' face. Pray together. Our gracious and loving Father, we come tonight towards the end of our Bible school to thank you for all the blessings we've received from your hand this week. You have opened wide your hand and satisfied all our desires. We've had inspiring studies, comfortable accommodation, good food, warm fellowship with brethren and sisters from all parts of the world, showers to water the earth in their season, and the glory of these surroundings. And for all these blessings, we thank you from the bottom of our hearts. And we pray, Father, that you will accept our evening sacrifice as a sweet savour, and be pleased with the words and the songs, that they may rise up to you acceptably. So bless our time together, we pray. Receive our thanksgiving as we seek to lift high your holy name and that of your beloved Son, because we ask this in his name. Amen. I'm going to ask you to remain seated for most of the hymns so that we're not up and down all evening together. But I will ask you at certain points to stand for the hymns. And this evening, we're going to think first of all of Abraham, father of the faithful, because he's been mentioned a number of times this week. And for his obedience, as you well know, he received exceeding great and precious promises. God said to him, "In blessing I will bless thee, multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice." And Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. And more than that, Abraham was called the friend of God, for his faith and his obedience. And you will remember that Jesus, in debate with the Jewish elders, said, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." Oh, Abraham had the vision, you see. He knew what God planned. No doubt about that. Abraham had the vision. Moses, likewise, was a man of vision, and he said to the Israelites, "The Lord your God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren like unto me. Unto him ye shall hearken." And Jesus said, "Had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me." So Moses, like Abraham, had the vision. He knew what God intended. Now, a hymn then to celebrate the faith of the patriarchs. Hymn 321. Hymn 321. O Yahweh, listen while we dare the promises to plead, which thine own sacred pages bear to faithful Abram's seed. On to the days of the judges. The priesthood of Eli had been a disaster, and the time had come for rededication and renewal of the covenant. And the Lord had chosen Samuel to move his purpose forward and to prosper his work. And we read that Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. And the word of Samuel came to all Israel. He had the vision, you see. He knew that spiritual renewal was not the work of a moment. It required attention day by day. And he said to the Israelites, I will pray for you, and I will teach you the good and the right way. He understood. He had the vision. Have we the same vision, brethren and sisters, young people, for the need for spiritual renewal on a daily basis? Let's seek help from our Heavenly Father in the words of Hymn 146. It is a prayer. Hushed was the evening hymn. The temple courts were dark. The lamp was burning dim before the sacred ark. When suddenly a voice divine rang through the silence of the shrine. Now down to verse 3. Here's our prayer. Oh, give me Samuel's ear, the open ear, O Lord, alive and quick to hear each whisper of thy word. Like him, to answer at thy call and to obey thee first of all. Hymn 146. We move into the New Testament and reflect on the occasion when Joseph and Mary brought the baby Jesus into the temple when he was almost 6 weeks old to present him to the Lord and to offer sacrifice according to the law. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Now Simeon, brethren and sisters, would not live to hear Jesus preach on Galilean hillsides or beside the Galilean lake. Nor would he see the miracles, the acts of compassion in support of the gospel of grace. He wouldn't live to see those things. He was an old man who was about to depart this life. But it didn't matter, you see, because he had seen the Lord's Christ. He had the vision. Hymn 191, which commemorates that time. Hymn 191. Earth was waiting, spent and restless, moved with mingled hope and fear, and the faithful few were sighing, "Surely, Lord, the day is near." We move briefly toward the end of our Lord's earthly ministry and just briefly contemplate the thief on the cross. To what extent he'd previously heard Jesus preached or been instructed in the things of the gospel, we are not told. But we do know that he'd taken a wrong turn somewhere. But the trauma of the crucifixion had brought him to repentance and to a position of amazing faith. "We receive the due rewards of our deeds," he said, "but this man hath done nothing amiss. So, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." He had the vision. He knew. "Verily I say unto thee today, thou shalt be with me in paradise." And I bring you now to hymn 219. And the words are most important, and the thief understood. Hymn 219, "O Saviour, where shall guilty man find rest except in thee? Thine was the warfare with his foe, the cross of pain, the cup of woe, and thine the victory." Hymn 219. And Saul, that savage persecutor of the early ecclesia, had a vision on the Damascus Road which turned his life around and sent him off in a different direction. And after his life-changing experience and a number of years in the mission field, he was able to say, brethren and sisters, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So, forgetting those things that are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul had the vision. He knew where he was going. So should we, brothers and sisters. So, hymn then, 345. Fight the good fight with all thy might. Remembering what Paul said, forgetting the things that are behind, press forward to the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Hymn 345. Come now to our Lord himself. The Hebrew letter tells us that we should be ever looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith. And the King James Version says the author and finisher of our faith. And the word our is in italics. It's the author and finisher of faith of the Lord Jesus Christ that we're looking to, brothers and sisters. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He had the kingdom constantly in mind every day as he moved towards Jerusalem. And he had in mind the brethren and sisters he would redeem to share the glory with him. You'll remember what Isaiah says, he shall see his seed. He didn't have a family during the days of his flesh. But in the kingdom he shall see his seed and prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and be satisfied. He had the vision, brothers and sisters. No doubt about that. And so should we, because we're all personally involved. This is what John tells us in the Revelation, which we read recently. John says, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, and they stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. He that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb, which is in the midst of the throne, shall feed them, and lead them unto fountains of living waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. That's our vision. And I bring you next to hymn 303. It is a magnificent hymn by our brother C.C. Walker. And now I would ask you to stand for this hymn when the introduction's been played. And please, it's one of my favorite hymns. Read all four verses and sing them very carefully. See the Lamb upon Mount Zion with the number of the blessed. See how Judah's conquering lion gives to them his glorious rest. Sweet reward of faithful following, they by patience have possessed. Please stand for this hymn. There is no question, brothers and sisters, that we have the vision and the best is yet to come. This is the vision to sustain us through the coming year, and I hope you will agree. We're going to bring this part of our worship and praise evening to a close with Sister Jean Galbraith's hymn. We've sung it twice already this week, but it certainly bears repetition. Hymn 383. And once again, I'll ask you to stand for this hymn and then remain standing for a concluding prayer, please, through our brother. Okay, thank you. Right, hymn 383. Rejoicing in hope and the joy of salvation, Father, we thank thee the morning draws near. Shadows of dread brood above every nation. Dark is the night, but the vision is clear. Our vision, brethren and sisters. Hymn 383.
Gracious Father in heaven, we thank thee, Heavenly Father, that thou hast spoken to us with mighty and thunderous voice and yet also with the beautiful, clear, quiet, still small voice. You've revealed yourself, Heavenly Father, in tremendous ways, but ultimately through the face of your Son, Jesus Christ. Now we've tentatively, haven't we, stepped out of that. You've invited us to step out of the boat, Heavenly Father, into the stormy waves that smash often around us. And at times we feel, Heavenly Father, that those waves would engulf us, that the tumult surrounding us and the fears that we might have, the emotions that swell up in us would rob us of the ability to look forward, to see your Son with hand outstretched, ready to catch, ready to draw near, ready to deliver, ready to lift up, ready to forgive, ready to exalt, ready to share eternity. The difficulties, therefore, Heavenly Father, fade away. The waves quieten in our life. For through thy Son, Heavenly Father, you have placed us on a sea of glass. The vision has become reality. The great weight that we perhaps have borne but for a moment in time has given way to the time of great joy. A time when we look once again forward and see your Son, the Lamb that's slain, the Lion, the tribe of Judah, the King, the one who sits on the throne, surrounded by us, by the saints of all ages, Heavenly Father. We thank you for that vision, which will soon become a reality. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for inviting us through your Son to be one with you, in you. We pray that's only a few days left to us, maybe one day, maybe less than a day, until that becomes a reality. When everyone here, our brothers and sisters, Heavenly Father, everyone here, would join together with those palms of victory and sing praise unto you and unto your Son for the deliverance that we've received. And then with immortal and joyous voices, Heavenly Father, go forth in the next phase of your purpose, and that is to teach and to touch the hearts of those who would be on the earth for the millennial age. We pray, Heavenly Father, that we might be prepared this day, that we might stand there in that day, that we might give back because we've received so much. We ask that you might help us to show that appreciation every day of our life, every breath that we take. We thank you for so many blessings that you provide for us, natural and above all spiritual. We ask and thank you and praise you through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
We have one important thing to do before we conclude our service of worship and praise, and that is to add a blessing to all as we depart. That lovely song that we've been learning this week with Sister Lee. So I'm pleased to hand the meeting over to the school teacher, and I will come and take my place in the class, and we will sing the parting blessing to one another.